Chris Christie's the man, huh? Chris Christie. As the momentum builds, and I'm sure it's going to, Republicans understand that they have a menagerie of freaks so far in the race, with the possible exception of Huntsman, but he doesn't really count. So the new guy is Chris Christie. Oh, hey, good evening. This is the Molloy Program. It's about 7:30 past the hour. Chris Christie's the man! Just remember those secret meetings he's had with the Koch brothers. Out west and back east. All kinds of little secret huddles. 2-hour meetings, one-on-one. One of the Kochs, I don't know which one, and Chris Christie. You gotta wonder, right? This hour is sponsored by Tim Lamb. His message: welcome, 7 billionth person. Did we cross that threshold? Was it today? It's either today or coming quickly this week. Welcome, 7 billionth person. Tim writes, as at 2.5 new people per second, we'll be welcoming 8 billion and 9 billion in 2025 and 2037, respectively. Happy 55th to me. A birthday cake of Soylent Green. How thoughtful. All right, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Do you know when I was a kid? I swear to God, when I was a kid, I remember when it clicked over 2 billion. Two billion. Jesus, God, I must be old. But I can remember our, I don't know, second grade, third, fourth grade teacher telling us it was a very momentous day because we now had 2 billion people on Earth. Oh, well, Tim Lamb. Thank you, Tim. Our first hour sponsor. Matter of fact, our only sponsor tonight. I guess, what is it, Kathy? That is something to piss people off. The sponsorships are sorely needed and greatly appreciated, as are the subscriptions. I don't want to start the program with a money pitch, but I might as well. If you are not a subscriber to Molloy Program podcast downloads, cost you $56 a year, or what is it, $7.95 a month? And you can go to MikeMolloy.com and sign up. We would greatly appreciate it. Commercial-free podcast downloads in your email every morning at the program the night before. Or if you want to sponsor an hour, if you're thinking about doing it, I realize times are tough. So if you can't do it, I understand. If you can do it, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to open up the phones right now. The number here is 877-996-2556. And I want to get your, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it tonight. I only want your opinion on Chris Christie as the Republican candidate and eventual nominee. You know, and I know, and I think Chris Christie knows, if he gets in the race, he will get the Republican nomination. I don't think there is any doubt whatsoever, for a very simple fact. The big money is behind him. The big money that has been fueling the Tea Party shenanigans and this craziness to keep everything destabilized and insane and sick, so that somebody like Chris Christie could come along and appear moderate which he may well be. His politics may be moderate. I mean, somebody pointed out that he has suggested that, you know, homosexual people are just part of God's creation, and therefore, you know, I'm waiting for the candidate, and therefore should be accepted. I'm waiting for the candidate who doesn't even say that. Why is that necessary? You know, homosexuals are as good as, or some half-witted statement like, well, you know, why? I'm waiting for the politician who doesn't even bring it up, except to say, somebody's against gay folk? Are you against people with red hair? Are you against people with blue eyes? Shut your goddamn mouth. Go sit down. Go do something else. Oh, and then the other big item, no pun intended, about Chris Christie. Is he appointed a Muslim to a judge's position? Or was it a prosecutor? I think it was a judge. Oh, my God! Gay folk, Muslims, what's next? So, but it's that Koch brother thing, you know? It's just that Koch brothers thing. But the big money is starting to line up behind Chris Christie. Run, Chris, run. That seems to be the thought out there now. While everybody on the wealthy side of the ledger is considering Chris Christie, Kathy in Kauai, I always mispronounce it. She sent me an email one time to tell me how to pronounce K-A-U-A-I in Hawaii. And I'm sorry, I lost the pronouncer. In Hawaii. How about if I just do that? She writes, Mike, I'm reading The Grapes of Wrath again. I found this part, and then she includes a little segment here, of our this part fitting to our present and probably future situation. We need to come together to survive such a fearsome, greedy, and hungry power that's consuming our world. And what she sent me here is a segment from Grapes of Wrath. And this is one of my favorite parts of that novel. The whole novel was just a stunner to me when I first read it. But this is Tom Joad talking to somebody else. I lost my land. A single tractor took my land. I'm alone, I'm bewildered. And in the night, one family camps in a ditch and another pulls in and the tents come out. The two men squat on their hams and the women and children listen. Here's the node, you who hate change and fear revolution. Keep those two squatting men apart. Make them hate, fear, and suspect each other. This is the zygote. For here, I lost my land is changed. A cell is split, and from its splitting grows the thing you hate. We lost our land. The danger's here. For two men are not as lonely and perplexed as one. And from this first we, there grows a little more, still more dangerous thing. I have a little food, plus I have none. If from this problem the sum is we have a little food, then the thing is on its way. The movement has direction. This is the beginning from I to we. If you who own the things that people must have could understand this, you might preserve yourself. If you could separate causes from results, if you could know that Paine, Marx, Jefferson, Lenin were results, not causes, you might survive. But that you cannot know, for the quality of owning freezes you forever into I and cuts you off forever from the we. That's pretty strong stuff. Thank you, Kathy. All right, a couple more things. Let's do this break, and then we'll come back and take your phone calls. The item here, the subject up for debate, is Chris Christie. He has the entire political establishment, all of Twitter, just peeing down, up and down each other's pants legs, that nobody knows whether to, you know, run into the woods or set their own hair on fire. It's just like, oh my God, Chris Christie! Oh, yes, yes! And of course, the political pundits from MSNBC all the way up the ladder, or down the ladder, whatever, take your pick. Oh, they're just all breathless. They don't know what to do. The media, oh, a new chunk of meat coming into the race. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people saying we'd be better off dead. Don't feel like safe, but I am to them. So I try to forget it any way I can. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the...
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, let's talk with Greg in Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I love your show. I don't really listen to any more political radio. I used to listen to a lot, but now it's with what. I guess you could say I inherited a healthy, or maybe unhealthy, depends on how you look at it, distrust for the government by just being born black in America.
Uh-huh.
So that in and of itself gave me enough healthy distrust. And then with all the things that I've learned over the last few years, I've become to where you are. I'm probably even further down the line as far as not buying into any of this dog and pony show, but as far as the Republican side of the game,
mm-hmm.
let's just call them the Packers. Okay, we'll take the Packers. The Packers, I'm not interested in the Packers except to watch how they so easily manipulate people. And I think that Christie's entrance into this quote unquote race.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of how Obama got into the race when he first came up. It seemed like it was Clinton's race to win or lose. And then out of nowhere, bam, here was this Obama dude.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Christie. I mean, it's like he's sitting back waiting for the opportunity to jump in and take over because he's already been appointed. Now, Rick Perry thought it was smart for him to wait till the last minute and let the clowns get in the circus, but then we realize he's just a bigger clown. They're all clowns. And the interesting thing about it is Christie being connected to the Koch brothers, he's under the impression that that's going to benefit him in the polls or whatever. But, I mean, I think that's all part of the dog and pony show, just like Brett Favre going and playing for the Vikings. It's a game. It's like a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a movie on YouTube last night, and I'm going to suggest it to you, unless you've already seen it. And it's called Season of Treason.
I haven't seen it. Season of Treason.
Season of Treason. If you think you're pissed off now, Mike, watch Season of Treason, and I hope it doesn't make you say, okay, I'm going fishing. I'm not doing this again. I'm over it. Because I love listening to you.
Well, you know, I'm close to that now.
I know, brother. And I would go fishing with you just to stay away from it. I'd go fishing in Uruguay somewhere because I think this quote-unquote country has got us so in the Matrix. It's like literally watching the movie The Matrix.
Well, there's still, this is the reason I'm still here, I think. I have a 7-year-old, as you may know, and I'm still here because I still have a little bit of hope. And my hope now is pinned to what hope always has been pinned to for people who want to see change or revolution, and that's to young people who still have the idealism that gets hammered out of you for every year that you're alive. I don't care where you live, whether it's here or someplace else. You start out idealistic. I remember when I was idealistic. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it was a long time ago. But what's going on Wall Street? What's coming up in Washington on October 6th? These events around the United States and around the world. There was a big event on Saturday nobody heard of. I'm going to talk about it in the third hour. The people on seven continents participated. There's the folks in San Francisco. It's the only place I know where that I'm aware where folks participated because I have a friend out there. But the media didn't cover it. And apparently hundreds of thousands of people around the earth did. And all of these folks are motivated by one thing, the idealism and survival. I mean, the earth is getting to the point where it's not going to take too much more. But that's my hope, Greg, is that these movements, even though folks on Lower Manhattan, in Lower Manhattan, are being beat up now by cops and being pepper sprayed in the face and in the eyes, even though they're getting rough and getting tough, I still have faith in young people. And I have to say, I don't like to make obvious comparisons to the civil rights movement, but John Lewis turned out to be a good friend of mine. I didn't know him back in the day, but I've met him in the past 35 years. He and I are friends, all right? I'll just leave it at that. And I've heard the stories. I know what he and his comrades did at a very young age in order to keep that hope alive. And that's where I'm at. I'm not putting myself in that class because, John Lewis and the people around him were heroes. But I'm just saying, the hope, I've still got it. And when it's gone, that's the time that I'm going to bail. Greg, break time. I got to go, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care. We'll be right back. Sponsored by Tim Lamb, whose message is, welcome, 7 billionth person. At 2.5 new people per second, we'll be welcoming 8 billion and 9 billion in 2025 and 2037, respectively. Happy 55th to me. A birthday cake of Soylent Green. How thoughtful. Spooky. Spooky indeed. All right, the subject is Chris Christie, who appears to be a moderate when you compare him to the rest of the Republican presidential candidate wannabes, all these clowns that are out there, this sick, sick, sick group that it is showing up every time you're on television. There they are again. And they're either booing a combat soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan because he happens to be gay, or they're cheering because Rick Perry has executed 243 people, or they're clapping and yelling, kill him, about somebody who is in a coma and doesn't have health insurance. I mean, this is a sick goddamn group of people. I mean, these people are so far around the bend And, of course, they all vote, don't they? So, Chris Christie, you drop Chris Christie into this group, and all of a sudden, people are wandering around, bumping into things, saying, oh, well, he's an establishment Republican. He's a moderate. Don't go for it. Don't go for it. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. Chuck is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, guys?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, I have a heck of a lot of respect for you guys.
Well,
you
thanks.
You guys are, you're Iron Men. I mean, how you can do this day in and day out, I don't know. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I appreciate the comment.
I just know that sooner or later there's going to be some of the religious nuts are going to draw some kind of parallels with this guy with Christ because of his name.
Somehow or another,
it's going to enter the campaign. So I want to be the first. Let's welcome the Antichrist to the throne, right?
Yeah, that's coming. You know, you heard that guy in L.A. the other day scream at Barack Obama. Over and over, Jesus is God, you're the Antichrist. Oh my God, what has happened here?
Well, let me be the first, and let's talk about the Antichrist, okay?
All right, yeah, you're right, I hadn't thought about that. They will pin that on Christie, won't they?
Yeah, sooner or later it's bound to come up.
Right.
Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little tiny piece of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a truck.
Right.
I've been talking to truckers for years. Sometimes with positive results, most of the time with negative results, but, you know, I keep trying.
Right.
What I've noticed lately is a real pregnant silence on the radio.
Huh.
I think that things are starting to turn just a little bit. Once Social Security started getting in the mix, Medicare and Medicaid, and it got right down to the wire where they started really putting a serious hardcore threat on it. All of a sudden, the rhetoric has died down, and you're starting to see a certain look in the eye.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. It's very interesting. And it gives me a lot of hope. I'm hoping that truckers, with regard to politics, are like with everything else. They're full of crap. They run their mouths. They love to cry and whine and tell horrendous fish stories.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets right down to it, when it comes time to deal with reality, they're seeing what reality is.
Yeah, you may be onto something there, Chuck. I remember a couple of years ago talking about, since this country seems to be having about a decade-long nervous breakdown, why not go ahead and just get it over with, have a complete breakdown, go ahead and elect all these Republicans, go ahead and let 330 million people see what 535 representatives and senators and one president and one vice president, the damage they could do if they were all Republicans, and then sit back and wait, because the revolution then will come.
And see, that's interesting that you say that, because I've been fighting with this concept. Okay, to me, the next election is not about the presidency. I've said this before. It's about both houses of Congress.
Right.
Because if the Republicans can shore up the House and then get a strong supermajority in the Senate, they can do anything they want.
That's right.
And there's two paths they can take. They can either take the short term and go for the gold and then fight the repercussions through radical means.
Right.
Or they can slowly milk this cash cow to death.
And it's almost
so it's 10-15 years.
It's on its deathbed now. It wouldn't take a whole lot of milking. I really do believe this. If these right wing crazy people get control of both houses of Congress, it's all over but the shouting, because they are almost to the last man and woman backed by the money people who have been lusting after fascism in this country for generations. They have lusted after it, their parents, their grandparents. I'm talking about the industrialists, the capitalists, whatever you want to call them. They have been pushing this country toward fascism now since the 30s. And that's a long time to be pushing for something. If these people get control of both houses of Congress, it's all over. They're not going to push anymore. They'll have it. It's not going to be any kind of waiting for the next round. They'll declare themselves, and that's it.
Well, I think the fascist element is on the lower end. I think the high end is the ultra-capitalists, these ultra-rich people.
Same thing.
And they're smarter than that. They are. But I think they're greedier than they are fascists. And I think what they're going to try to do is milk it. But what's going to happen is that sooner or later they're going to overstep and they're going to drive us over the brink.
Well, don't forget a good working definition. And Chuck, let me move on here. Thank you, sir. I hope you call again. I really do. Thanks for checking in. A good working definition of fascism is what Mussolini said. He said, don't call it fascism. Call it what it is. It's corporatism. And it's when your governing system is run by the capitalists, the industrialists, the corporatists, whatever you want to call it, then the people no longer, they may have the illusion that there are votes to be cast and votes to be counted. They may have the illusion that their general assemblies actually make the laws. They may have this illusion, but the truth is that it's being run by the moneyed people, the capitalists, the corporatists, the fascists, however, you know, all three of those terms to me have become completely interchangeable. It may not have been so at one time, although Mussolini was talking about this in the 1920s. I mean, you know, that's almost, a century ago. So, you know, these people have been waiting in the wings for a long time, and I think they see their time is now. So if if these people, and let me make one thing real clear here, they're not all Republicans. Don't kid yourself for a second that fascists are all Republicans. There are a lot of people wearing the D after their name who are just as fascist as any one of these rat bastards in the Republican Party. So watch out for that. Watch out for that indeed. Where are we? We have one open line if you want to call in. We're going to take some more phone calls on this, 877-996-2556. The topic here, we have a topic this hour. Jesus, Kathy, how long has it been since we did that? A topic. And it is Chris Christie. Is he really the Republican Party savior? I mean, this is a guy who appointed... I think I have this right. Appointed a Muslim to a state court judge position in New Jersey. Is that right? Or a state prosecutor? One or the other. Somebody will let me know before the night is over. And this is the man who also said that people should stop being anti-gay because, after all, God created gay people, too. The implication being that, yeah, you know, they are lesser than your average heterosexual, but, you know, God must have gotten drunk one night and created them. And, you know, I mean, I can remember the same argument from well-meaning liberals, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, where it concerned black folks. So watch out, watch out, watch out. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you do. All right, we have another break. Okay, we also have next hour. We have our moment with, a prairie too. But I also got in the email file this afternoon another moment with Bob that I think you're going to enjoy. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Bye. monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Tim Lamb. With his message, welcome 7 billionth person. 2.5 new people per second will be welcoming 8 billion and 9 billion in 2025 and 2037 respectively. Happy 55th to me, a birthday cake of Soylent Green. How thoughtful. Ah. Thanks, Tim. All right, back to Bruce in Boca Raton. Hey, Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
How are you?
Pretty good. I guess Chris Christie, I have some friends and relatives that are still in New Jersey, and they don't have very kind things to say about their current governor. I mean, the bottom line is the reason why he got in was Carlisle was not liked. A lot of Democrats stayed home.
Right.
And Christie got in. But he canceled a very, very important public works project, infrastructure project for a bridge and tunnel upgrade in that area. And about 6,000 jobs on the line, and of course, the trickle-down effect. And that was lost. They had a blizzard in New Jersey, and he chose to go to Disney World rather than oversee emergency efforts in the state. It just goes on and on and on. I guess he's just one of these indistinct, visionless Republicans out there that claim to be patriotic, but anything but un-American. And, obviously in the middle world, in terms of the regular average working American out there.
Yeah, I don't know that much about him. He said a couple of things that I liked. Not political, just off the cuff. A finger in people's eyes when they deserve to have a finger in the eye. But what really spooked me about Chris Christie is the fact that, he has these secret meetings with one of the Koch brothers, and they really, really seem to like each other, BFFs. And it's just like, oh, my God, because the Koch brothers want to destroy America. So if they're going to I don't care who they back. It's going to have to be somebody who also wants to destroy America. So Chris Christie is, to me, it's just another clown, another right wing clown who can say, things that are kind of witty. He's from New Jersey. I don't think I've ever met anybody from New Jersey or New York who wasn't New York City, who didn't have that kind of quick, shoot from the hip, wit that I really appreciate. So even though he said a few things that I, got my attention, made me go, hey, all right, as far as, politics, stay in New Jersey because, eventually they're going to eat him there anyway. It's going to get, desperate for food. All right, Bruce, thanks, man. I got a boogie. Appreciate what you had to say. Cheryl is in Los Angeles. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Long time listener and first time caller. I've been listening to you since 2005 when you took over Randy Rose's show.
Oh, my God. Well,
and I've been hooked ever since.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks for being there.
And as an African-American woman, I got to say, you give me a lot of hope for a white man. You don't hear that much from whites. But I had a quick question. I don't know how moderate Chris Christie is, because I heard the state legislator in New Jersey pass a bill saying that women's rape kits would be paid by the state or something. And he took a slow time signing it or wouldn't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how moderate he could be. I guess it don't matter. When it comes to women's issues, they're not exactly too thrilled about women. So
no.
I'm worried that if he does, he may cause even more problems for women and women's issues and equal rights and stuff like that. But I've never heard him mention anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about him?
I don't. Like I said earlier tonight, he, to me, he first and foremost, he's a Republican. So that immediately makes him suspect to me, because I don't see how. I think he's a former prosecutor in New Jersey, or state attorney general, or something like that. But the fact that he's a Republican immediately puts him on my on the list, right? Because you can't be a Republican these days and really believe in this country anymore. Not the way most sane people would like to believe in this country. But because he does things like appoint a Superior Court judge, I just found out, in Passaic County, thanks to Reg, he appointed a Muslim as a Superior Court judge. When all the other Republicans talk about how the Muslims are coming, are coming, you know. And the other thing, his kind of relaxed statement, although it's still got that little element of bigotry in it, his apparent relaxed attitude about gay folk. You know, I've heard that, like I said, I've heard that before. I've heard that about all kinds of people over the course of my life, where people, I remember when I was younger, people used to say, well, you know, I have this friend, now it's a black person, but she's really nice. you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing when Chris Christie talks about gay people. So I've got my doubts about this man. It's just that I don't mean I have my doubts. I don't care. I don't care about it. But I think Republicans, the Republican money is going to latch on to him, because he's not as obviously crazy as Michelle Bachmann or these other clowns. I got to leave there, Cheryl. Thank you.
I have one more question.
Very quick. I got 10 seconds.
I want to sponsor your program, and I want to mention that I'm on dialysis. I'm looking for a kidney donor. Is that okay?
I'll tell you what. If you'll send me an email, I'll mention it on the air. Send me an email.
Thank you so much, Mike. I love you very much.
All right, Cheryl.
Say hi to Kathy and Molly.
I'll do it. Take care.
Bye.
Send me an email. Send me an email. All right, Cheryl. We'll be right back.
Guys,
here in just a second, from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, chanting shame, shame, shame on you, about 250 protesters in Vancouver, British Columbia, tried to block guests attending a Monday night dinner and book-selling event featuring former Vice President Dick Cheney. I wonder why the Seattle PI doesn't add "and unindicted mass killer and war criminal." But anyway, 151-year-old demonstrator was arrested for lunging at and appearing to choke an employee of the Vancouver Club, where the $500 a guest event was held. The demonstration, according to Derek O'Keefe, head of the Stop War Coalition, He told CBC News, the demonstration was intended to show that we won't tolerate a war criminal coming and speaking in our town. We hope to set an example that Cheney doesn't see Canada as a safe haven, end quote. Derek O'Keefe. Don Davies, a member of Canada's House of Commons from Vancouver, had asked the immigration minister to bar Cheney on grounds that he, Cheney, championed and sanctioned waterboarding of prisoners during the Bush administration. Gotta love that place. Cheney was appearing before the Bon Mot. All right, Gabby, how do you pronounce B-O-N-M-O-T? Bon Mot? He was appearing before the Bon Mot Book Club, a group which pays handsome honorariums to visiting author celebrities. The group had previously hosted Sarah Palin, blah, blah, blah. Leah Costello of the club said, quote, what is important is that he's able to speak and free to speak and people are free to hear him. End quote. Really, Leah? Would you say that about somebody who had killed every member of your family? Would you say that about somebody who flew an aircraft? Or no, better yet, would you say that about somebody who sent a drone into Vancouver and murdered, oh, I don't know, maybe 100 of your villagers? Oh, you don't call them villagers in Vancouver, do you, Leah? He should be heard? Are you kidding me? He was heard! For 30 years, this pig bastard war criminal was heard, Leah. But I digress. 30 Vancouver police officers were required to maintain order outside the Vancouver club as protesters tried to push against the club's front entrance. At one point, officers donned riot gear, including masked helmets, plexiglass shields, and body armor. Vancouver has, in recent years, become a favored destination for former political leaders seeking a paycheck. Damn, Seattle PI put that in that sentence together. I like that. Former President George Herbert Walker Bush was hosted by Vancouver business tycoon Jimmy Pattison, and Pattison once flew in ex-British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher for a speech. Bill Clinton made repeated appearances in Vancouver, as well as blah, 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 blah. Well, kudos to the 250 protesters. Now, the Seattle PI says 250. So we'll go with that number, but it might have been higher than that. But kudos to the group of Canadians who said, no, get out of town, you rat son of a bitch. Get out of town. Would that people in this country would do the same with this piece of human waste. Oh, God. I don't know if I can squeeze. All right, we'll let Bob wait until the end of the bottom of the hour, because this is, he quotes Dostoevsky in here. Oh, and the cast of Sesame Street. So it's one of those moments with Bob. When you go from Sesame Street to Dostoevsky, you cover a lot of territory. So we'll do this at the bottom of the hour. From Larry, Mike, Herman Cain won the Republican straw poll here in Florida. Let me explain it. I have served as an election official here since 2002. My duties allow me to observe voters as they peruse the sample ballots that I have posted outside the voting room. My two-year-old grandson can distinguish between two choices, e.g. a blue block and a red block, but becomes confused with more subtle choices. Most of the voters that I see are about the same. They can distinguish between a D and an R next to a name, duh, D bad, R good, but are completely befuddled by constitutional amendments and nonpartisan races such as for judges. They ask, but I'm not allowed to give them advice. With Herman Cain, they heard his 999 spiel. They thought, 9% tax rate? and it registered since most of them admit to not understanding math, and they are more comfortable with single-digit numbers anyway. Most of them are from the Northeast and are here because of the weather and the lack of a state income tax. They don't give a They don't give a blank about the state, its environment, and natural resources. They violate the law and watering regulations, depleting our aquifer, over-fertilize, and pay exterminators to kill every living critter on their lots. We need a state income tax so they would pull up stakes and go to Texas. Larry. Thank you, Larry. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they can see the D, they can see the R. Herman Cain's 999 thing, what is that? Reduce the effective tax rate to everybody 9%. Institute a 9% national sales tax. And what's the third nine? Don't send me an email because I really don't care.
It's three pepperoni for $9.
Three, oh, is that what it is? Is that what the 999 is? I'm sorry. I thought it had something to do with taxation. Never mind.
Three vegetarian specials for $9.99.
I got it. Okay. And what the point Larry's trying to make, these freaks don't understand that you elect Herman Cain, and on top of, what is it in Florida now, 8%, they don't have a state, do they have a state, they don't have a state income tax, but they do have state sales, they have sales tax there. So on top of the 8% sales tax would be another 9%, so people would wind up paying a 17% sales tax, I don't know, who cares? I mean, Herman Cain is as interesting to me as a cheese sandwich that's been sitting on, sitting on a countertop for about 3 weeks. Go away, Herman. Go make some pizzas. If you remember, the most recent Republican presidential debate, oh my God, that's a funny line, when they decided to boo a soldier who was calling, with a question from a combat zone simply because he was openly gay. Joe Biden was on The View. And when was it? Today? I think it was today. He said it was reprehensible, his word, for members of the audience, to boo this soldier simply because he was openly gay. Come on, Joe. These are Republicans, for Christ's sake. You know the name of the game. Biden said, I did have a visceral response to it. I'm not sure if it's because my son spent a year in Iraq. He goes on. He said some other thing. Look, this kid risked his life, Biden said. This kid is there for them. And I, quite frankly, I thought it was reprehensible. But what Biden didn't bring up, he didn't mention the fact that the Republican candidates on that stage said nothing. It was noted that none of those candidates spoke out about the booing at the time it happened. And I like what Rick Santorum said. He's the one that the gay soldier was addressing with his video question. And Santorum said he couldn't hear the boos that the question engendered. Later, he insisted that he had heard them. Had he heard them? Well, my goodness, he would have denounced them and thanked the member for his service. Thank the member for his service. Okay, Rick.
Thinking I'm getting my getting older. Oh, if you don't love God,
if you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble, and you don't.
Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
Past the hour, it's time for Prairie 2's interpretation of the chaos out there. I don't know where this guy finds all the time to write. I used to write and hit a brick wall about 2 years ago and just stopped. Anything you read at MikeMalloy.com was written by Kathy. Even though sometimes it appears under Mike's blog or something. I don't know. It's all her writing. From Prairie 2, countering the teabagger gambit. A new government report came out today detailing just how bad the current Great Depression has become. the current Great Depression. Things are indeed as bleak now as they've been at any time in the 70 years since the last Depression, and the turnaround is still not happening. For the second year in a row, Americans earned less and spent less. They spent less on food as more people go hungry at the end of the month or are simply buying cheaper food or food-like substances. Those who formerly aspired to the middle class have cut back on entertainment and eating at restaurants, and they give less to charity. But the costs they can't control, like gas, heat, and health care, continue to go up. Only twice since the Labor Department started doing the survey nearly 30 years ago has total consumer spending declined. In 2010, spending fell by 2%. The only other year when consumer spending fell was the year before that. The good news is that the rate of income decline slowed last year to a negative 0.6%, which was better than the 1.1% drop the year before. In 2011, the early numbers actually show a modest but tentative increase in both income and spending. The cut in FICA taxes was supposed to give a big boost to consumer spending, but was stifled by high gas prices, with the average $150 per month tax cut simply going into the gas tank, and for higher food prices driven by energy costs and, of course, Wall Street banks speculating in food commodities. What improvement that we may have seen comes from gas prices coming down 50 cents a gallon from their $4 peak in May. We can probably thank Obama for this, from his putting strategic reserve oil on the market. And we aren't paying $5 plus, as the Wall Street banks were predicting. Since 40% of the pump price is a direct result of these same Wall Street banks, their predictions are usually accurate. Gas prices are falling again this week as speculators are forced to sell contracts to meet margin calls as a direct result of the whole financial system teetering on the brink of collapse. No need to shed a tear for the big banks as prices fall. They make their real money from selling derivative contracts. These so-called financial weapons of mass destruction, as Warren Buffett called them, as they are really time bombs, are supposed to protect the buyer against swings in prices. These totally unregulated and non-transparent contracts are extremely complicated, however, and weighted in the favor of, wait for it, the banks. Triggers pull built into the contracts are not known to the market in general, and other holders of similar contracts don't know how vast the holdings are. Complementary contracts across the commodity group can cause a domino effect that nobody outside of the banks can see coming. The Dodd-Frank Act is supposed to rein in these contracts, and Republicans have been doing everything possible to keep that from happening. Commodities, including gold, were up significantly today after 4 days of declines. They were up based on news of a possible deal to save the Eurozone. This rosy outlook also pushed up the equity markets. The Senate deal to avoid a government shutdown didn't hurt the markets either. House Republicans had slyly made a two-pronged advance across the chessboard to force the Senate to sacrifice 20,000 green jobs, mostly in the auto industry, or instead let disaster relief money run out. The biggest cut was to the Detroit Advanced Engineering Program that was ironically endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You know, those real lefties. The House then skipped town, with the game plan being that the Senate would either have to make the job cuts, further crippling the economy, or let FEMA run out of money today. And that option would also be cutting jobs from recovery construction. But a certain checkmate for the Republicans, the GOP, the gritty old party, occurred. However, the Obama administration was able to come up with enough money to fund FEMA, disaster relief, until the end of the fiscal year, blocking a move known as the teabagger gambit once again. The Republicans, not wanting to take the blame for a government shutdown at the end of the year on Friday, agreed to a continuing resolution, temporarily funding the entire government at the rate agreed to in debt agreements in August. While Obama can slap the clock on the speed chessboard and lean back satisfied that he's kept the government running for another 6 weeks, the game is obviously not won. The Republicans are not shy about killing pawns on this board game called class warfare, a contest that's scored in real blood while they maneuver to take out not just Obama, but all of the middle class from the 99th percentile down. I think I understood about, you know, about 70% of that. From prairienumeral2.com. We'll be right back.
That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. No, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you.
I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Who is that kid? All right. It's time from the cold steppes of Canada. Bob Alexander's Moment of Truth. Moment of Truth. I'm reading something else. A Moment with Bob. Brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Play the music. From the land beyond, beyond two. Hey, Mike. Eventually, every cast member of Sesame Street sang, "One of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong." And for the last month or so, it's been my theme song, too. The myriad differences between the United States and Canada, most small, some huge, culminate in an odd sort of culture shock that resonates throughout the day. And with each noted difference, a mini Twilight Zone episode. At first glance, the usual scattered change on my bedside table, nickels, dimes, and pennies, look like the loose coins that have always cluttered the nightstand, but look closer. On the penny, the image of a dead president has been replaced by a living queen. We've slipped into another dimension, an alternative a universe. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Canadian Zone. But unlike the unease simmering under each Rod Serling story, the differences here are pleasant. Oh, sure, we've been tripped up by the metric system a few times. What initially looked like a great price per pound for salami was actually the price for 100 grams. We buy gasoline by the liter. Highway distances are in kilometers. And a comfortable temperature is 20 degrees Celsius. All these daily conversions require doing arithmetic in your head skills that I haven't exercised since the third grade. I should have it all figured out by the time my funeral starts. The larger differences are really remarkable. Our healthcare costs have gone from $1,100 a month to $1,800 per year. When our son was born, my wife's maternity leave was 12 weeks without pay. But at least she had a job to go back to. My wife's Canadian cousin recently had a baby. Her maternity leave is for 52 weeks at 75% of her salary. And her employer tops off that compensation, so she receives 100% of her salary during her maternity leave. There's unemployment up here instead of There's employment up here instead of unemployment down there. The Canadian unemployment figure this summer was 7.2%. In the U.S., the figure reported is 9.1%. But if you use the same methods the rest of the industrialized nations use to determine real unemployment numbers, for the U.S., you get 16 to 22% unemployment. Chocolate rations are up using U.S. methodology. Around 11 o'clock last Tuesday night, our parrot had a medical emergency. We had to take him to a 24-hour veterinary emergency room. While we were driving to the vet, I noticed something I had never witnessed in any American urban setting. People casually strolling down the streets. A woman jogging by. People clustered outside coffee shops, smoking cigarettes, deep in conversations. People out and about at 11:30 at night as if they weren't concerned about crime. Because obviously they weren't. And the city isn't free from violent crime. In 2008, 18 people were murdered in Vancouver. But during the same year, there were 381 murders in Los Angeles and 523 murders in New York. There's no death penalty here. The last execution in Canada was almost 50 years ago, on December 11, 1962. The reasons Canada banned the death penalty were simple. Fears about wrongful convictions, concerns about the state taking people's lives, and uncertainty about the death penalty's role as a deterrent for crime. These are concerns the Georgia Board of Pardons and Paroles, the Butts County Superior Court, the Georgia Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and Barack Obama do not share. None of those mentioned above were concerned enough to spare the life of Troy Davis. From Amnesty International Canada, quote, Canadian research on the deterrent effect of punishment has reached the same conclusions as the overwhelming majority of U.S. studies. To wit, the death penalty has no special value as a deterrent when compared to other punishments. In fact, the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police has stated, quote, it is futile to base an argument for reinstatement on grounds of deterrence, unquote, unquote. I could go on and on about the differences between here and there, but there's been something else brewing beneath my Sesame Street theme song. I don't even know what words to use to describe it. What would you call nostalgia for a time that never happened? As we drive around the city on our errand runs, there's always some little thing we didn't bring with us, so now we have to go find it. I often feel like we really are living in some kind of dimensional warp. Where we now live is reminiscent of a United States that could have been. When I was a kid in the early 60s, there was a palpable feeling that things were going to get better for everyone. Civil rights for African Americans was going to happen. It was inevitable. If not 1961 or 62, then the next year or the next. The status quo for millions of Americans was going to completely change. And not in some vague future like sometime in my lifetime. Things were going to change for millions of Americans who had been denied their rights for hundreds of years before my friends and I got our driver's licenses. There was talk of Medicare. But the only people against it were commie-fearing Republicans who screeched about socialized medicine. We had orbited the Earth and were aiming at the moon. But suddenly, somebody blew John Kennedy's head apart, and the government decided it was best if they just lied to us about everything from that point on. They lied. The country went to war. And year after year, we lost more and more ground. The country took a wrong turn, and then another, and another. Because, as it turned out, the people who ran our institutions didn't want things to get better for everybody. They conditioned us to give up on that idea and settle for hoping that things don't get worse. The familiar became normal. Children born 15 years ago know we've always been at war with the evildoers. But it didn't have to happen that way. We could have had a country that did not embrace perpetual war for perpetual peace. We could have had a more humane government. But our elites have gone mad and taken us with them. As Dostoevsky wrote in The House of the Dead, quote, tyranny is a habit. It may develop, and it does develop at last, into a disease. I maintain that the very best of men may be coarsened and hardened into a brute by habit. Blood and power intoxicate. Coarseness and depravity are developed. The mind and the heart are tolerant of the most abnormal things till at last they come to relish them. End quote. My favorite Sesame Street song ends like this. Did you guess which thing was not like all the others? Did you guess which thing just doesn't belong? If you guess this one is not like the others, then you're absolutely right. Regards, Bob Alexander. Another Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends from Offshore Drilling. I have a few correspondents with this program who could possibly link Sesame Street and the House of the Dead, but there are only a couple. Whoosh. All right. Applause, applause. I have an email here from V. That's right, from V. And we're about to take a break, but I'll share it with you when we come back. Have a pencil, all right, or something to write with. I want to give you a phone number. You'll like this one. You're going to like this one. All right? Stick around. We'll be back momentarily.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking.
Management. Back to Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right. I'll write this phone number down. If you're outside New York City, the number is 212-NEW-YORK. Easy enough. 212-NEW-YORK. That's Mayor Michael Bloomberg's phone number. If you're in New York, just dial 311. But if you're outside New York City, 212-NEW-YORK. This is from V. Please call New York City Mayor. Tell whoever answers that you are calling from California, and it's all on the news out here. The mayor's representative I spoke to did not like that. Then they hung up on me. But it was only after I mentioned the fact that the police officers in New York City are beating the living crap out of the young people protesting on Wall Street. I mean, it's open season out there. This is embarrassing to say the least, owing to the countries around the world are fighting to be just like America. It is uncalled for and extreme. Please pick up the phone and call Mayor Bloomberg's office. And if you don't get hung up on, ask the friendly people who answer the phone to deliver a message to the mayor to stop. Enough of the brutality. Remind them we are supposed to be a democracy. Go to Lawrence O'Donnell's website via MSNBC to see footage posted there. As someone with some experience walking in protests, I can relate to this pretty well. The riots are starting by the police, probably with the financial support and blessing of the Wall Street companies that the police are supposedly protecting. Thank you, V. Okay. That won't cost you anything, will it? 212 New York. And mention the fact that you are aware you are seeing the videos, and you can see them all over YouTube. You're not going to see them on the nightly news. Oh, hell no. But you can see them. And from Chad in, before I get there, Reg at TVNewsLies.org says that piece that I just read from Bob, Moment with Bob, it is up at TVNewsLies.org, either on their news page or the guest editorial link. If you just click on the editorial link and you'll find it. So if you like that piece from Bob Alexander, you can get it. TVNewsLies.org. And from Chad in Portland, Oregon, he just sent the several. He says you mentioned Canadians protesting Cheney. Here's some Americans protesting Rumsfeld. Several members of the group Veterans for Peace were escorted out of the Old South Meeting House in Boston Monday night after they attempted a citizen's arrest of former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Protester Nate Goldschlag told WCVB television, quote, "I went down in front and looked Donald Rumsfeld in the eye and said, 'I'm making a citizen's arrest.' He lied us into Iraq. He lied about weapons of mass destruction. He lied about Saddam Hussein being involved in 9/11. End quote, Nate Goldschlag. Three of the protesters removed from the event were with Veterans for Peace, and a fourth was a member of Code Pink. One protester was arrested outside the event for allegedly using a bullhorn to assault a police officer. Oh, right. Most of the 300 people who had come to buy a copy of Rumsfeld's book, Known and Unknown, that's the title. Most of those roughly 300 people appeared to be fans. One woman said, quote, "He's one of the greatest Americans that has ever lived," end quote. Anyway, Chad in Portland, Oregon, thank you. You know, when you hear someone who's a citizen of this country making a statement like that about Rumsfeld, he's one of the greatest Americans who ever lived, and you know, the first reaction for me is to just turn away from that person and put some distance between me and that person because they're obviously insane. And I don't know, maybe she carries a gun in her purse. Maybe she'd pull out her gun and point it at me and I'd have to shoot her. Who knows? On the other hand, how does it come to pass that we live in a country where war criminals can travel around, unindicted mass killers, and God damn it, there is no debate about this. There is no debate. These people in the Bush crime family instituted what we decided at Nuremberg was the supreme crime. So bad that it encompassed, contained all other crimes against humanity. The unprovoked invasion of another country. And the result of this, hundreds of thousands of corpses, maybe more. 2 million displaced people. We're only talking about Iraq here. And these miserable killers, these ghouls, Cheney, Rumsfeld, the rest of these monsters wandering around the Western Hemisphere selling their goddamn book. Wow. I got through the whole first 2 hours without losing it. Until Chad sent this to me. It's really sick, and if you are a rational human being, you understand how deep and abiding this sickness has become in this country. And it's based on that that Bob and not a few other people have decided it might be time to find someplace else to hang one's hat, probably for the rest of one's life, because I cannot see things. I can't see things changing here, but I may be wrong. Like I told a caller earlier tonight, I still maintain that hope. Have you been to October2011.org? Have you been to that website yet? Please go to the website, and if you possibly can, come to Washington on the 6th of October. I'll be there. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Saturday just passed, or Sunday, about the moving planet campaign. I must be totally disconnected from everything, or you are, or we are, or something, because the moving planet event that occurred on Saturday just blew right past me. Do you know what I'm talking about? On six continents, in over 75% of the world's countries, last Saturday, people came out to attend over 2,000 different events to demonstrate the power of renewable energy in order to combat global climate change. I swear, I must be losing it, Kathy. I often think that I pretty much stay on top of stuff, but this missed me completely now, or I miss this completely now. Obviously, American media are going to pay no attention to something like this at all, unless, you know, people start getting arrested, or there's a fire or an explosion, or some Glenn Beck listener runs into the crowd killing people. But other than that, I don't know. Was there coverage? I don't remember a thing. Nothing. It was part of the Moving Planet campaign organized by 350.org. And let me tell you some things that happened. In Paris, activists there created a giant human windmill. They gave out bike lessons in Buenos Aires. Practice evacuation measures on the Pacific island of Tuvalu that is, you know, in deep trouble by rising sea levels. Activists marched in Cape Town, South Africa for a strong agreement at the next UN climate meeting that's going to be hosted in Durban, South Africa. And Bill McKibben, founder of 350.org, said, quote, "The planet has been stuck for too long with governments doing nothing about the biggest problem we've ever faced. This is the day when the people will get the earth moving, rolling toward the solutions we need," end quote. Now, you know who Bill McKibben is. He was arrested in front of the White House back in August, along with hundreds of other people, for protesting the tar sands extraction in Canada to be pipelined across the United States to Texas. That Bill McKibben. Let me share some more with you here. The reports indicate that some of the events took on a local flavor, depending on where you were. In Sydney, Australia, activists flew kites calling for the government to put a price on carbon. It's an issue that the current Australian government supports, but you know, the capitalists, even in that country and globally, are opposing it with fierce opposition. In the U.S., there was demonstrations against the Keystone XL pipeline again. In India, 10,000 citizens, not many out of 1 billion, right? But what the hell? In India, 10,000 citizens protested the proposed construction of 80 new coal-fired plants, power plants. Now, the whole idea behind this, all the events, were designed to raise public awareness and push for rejection, societal rejection, where people become conscious enough of what's going on that the process of rejection of this madness will begin, just like the rejection of cigarette smoking as being cool. We've almost turned the corner now, a matter of fact, we probably have, for the most part, where cigarette smoking is seen as a form of psychosis, just insanity, slow suicide. But cigarette smoking was not always labeled thusly. In fact, cigarette smoking was almost a rite of passage to becoming an adult and beyond. If you wanted to be really cool, like in the movies, you had to smoke all the time. Smoke in the shower, smoke in bed, smoke while you eat, smoke on the john, smoke that cigarette. But it got turned around. Global warming, global climate change is now, one hopes, in that process. Now, a lot of this, I'm sure right-wingers would just laugh and giggle and hoot and say, oh, you bunch of dumbass hippies. For example, a lot of people in the various countries where this this day was organized, they biked, rollerbladed, skateboarded, took public transit to events, stuff that we ought to be doing anyway. In Santo Domingo, activists painted the Dominican Republic's first bike lane. Can you hear Limbaugh talking about that?
Yeah, so, you know, down there, these little street urchins got out there, and, you know, I go to the Dominican Republic a lot, because you know what they have down there? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'll tell you, that's, remember I got caught coming back that time in the airport, and I had some of those little blue pills with me, and no prescription? Well, I'll tell you, so now they got these little street urchins painting a bike lane. Ah! That's some funny crap.
And like that. I wonder sometimes where pigs like Limbaugh, where their heads are. You know, scientists have been telling us for decades that burning fossil fuel is putting greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and warming the earth. Michelle Obama and Rick Perry and the rest of these really, truly crazy people. I mean, if you don't agree that they're crazy, then you're crazy. It's just that simple. If you don't see the insanity of almost all these Republicans, but especially these two morons, then you yourself, you're identifying yourself as equally a moron, equally insane, equally crazy, right? Huh? No, I'm sorry. That's the truth. But we've been talking about this a little bit around the margins for a long time. Yeah. I grew up in that era where any time the government or the film industry or anybody wanted to show the massive powerhouse that the United States was, yes, bestride continents, the global colossus, American capitalism, American righteousness. Well, how did they show that? They showed it with just hundreds of smokestacks across the United States just pouring poison into the air. You've seen those old newsreels. To some of you, it's old newsreels. To some of us, it is, you know, part of our childhood. Billowing, dirty, filthy smokestacks, pumping this stuff out. Oh, my God. Success, power, death, destruction. So, you know, we've seen all that. We know what this is about. And we either accept the science or we reject the science. But that's what we're talking about here. You can mess around with the politics as much as you want. You know, that's what Republicans do. This is what these brain dead right wingers, teabaggers do. They say, God takes care of us. Or, they're trying to turn us into the communists. The carbon dioxide's good for you. Breathe it. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to get in that entire rap. 350.org takes its name from the scientific assertion that carbon should be below 350 parts per million in order to maintain a stable climate. Right now, carbon is at 390 parts per million and going up. We'll be right back.
Right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
I would not run from the Holocaust.
When your identity is stolen.
Wow, do we have an incredible offer?
I'd welcome the chance to meet my maker and fly into the sun.
Fly into 21 past the hour. Fly Gremlins. The so anyway, last Saturday, this global event, Moving Planet. And for some reason, I don't know. Did you? I completely missed it. And it was sponsored by or organized by 350.org. And 350.org was founded by Bill McKibben when the history of the world is written. McKibben should be among those people who are listed as heroes. I'm sure he would turn away from that. But Moving Planet, then, is it's attempting to be a global expression, or it was, of unity, it says here, urgency and purpose. To show the capitalists that they need to move from rhetoric to action, or we're all going to die. I mean, I don't know how else to put that. The executive director of Greenpeace International, in a press release, said last Saturday, "Today we're beginning to move in the right direction." That would be Kumi Naidu. Naidu, by the way, was recently arrested off the coast of Greenland for boarding an oil rig in the Arctic. It's part of an act of civil disobedience. And he has joined hundreds of people protesting a new coal-fired power plant in Chicago. It's all over the place. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your backyard. It's all over the place. And I probably don't need to run it down again, because you know this. I think you know this, but global climate change is expected to cause, and in a lot of instances it already has, or it's been linked to, melting of the Arctic. We see that. You see the pictures all the time. Global sea level rising. These are things that Obama said he was going to begin the process of reversing first day in office. Whatever happened to that, Mr. President? Got too busy? Oh, okay. As far as melting of the Arctic, a scientist who showed pictures and talked about, apparently, who worked for the government, about polar bears not having the icy environment they need, has been suspended, is being investigated by the Obama administration, a scientist, for telling the truth. Just like Stalinist Russia, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, it is. Increased droughts and floods, worsening extreme weather, mass extinction, desertification. Big word there. Means that, you know, those nice meadows are turning into deserts. The other thing that is talked about occasionally when the list of horrors is put together about what global climate change is bringing, but it's not talked about too much because it's really scary, and that's global conflict and famine. Who links famine to global climate change? And as far as conflict, you know, like armies, nations moving against each other for disappearing water resources, arable soil. What's going to happen when global climate change moves insect pests from certain areas of the globe where they have natural habitat into areas of the globe where they do not have natural habitat, but the weather is right, so they come to the new area and begin to wreak destruction? What then? We don't talk about that, do we? Nah, that's crazy talk.
Well, I don't know what this Malloy is talking about. You know, I like to go to the Dominican Republic. There's lots of what they do down there. They painted a bike path. Oh, wow. What do you know about that? Probably had a bunch of those little, you know, kids out there doing that, right? Oh, God, I love those little kids.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh. Moving Planet was developed as a chance for citizens to show that fighting climate change is feasible because governments aren't doing that. Capitalism will never do that. Are you serious? Capitalism will never do it. Totalitarian socialism will never do it. Communism will never do it. So, the people can at least demonstrate that they're not going willingly into that dark night. The Pacific Media Engagement Director with 350.org told the Fiji Times in that South Pacific community, quote, speak against climate change. Talk to your families, your community members, your elders, and your government. You are neither wrong nor alone to ask for a better planet to live in. That's a radical statement, isn't it? And among other events in Fiji, 1,000 trees were planted.
I've stepped in the middle of seven sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles from the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rain.
When your identity.
At the door they had found, the head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Okay, 25 before the hour. So, Moving Planet campaign, organized by 350.org. 350.org takes its name from the scientific assertion, scientific fact that carbon should be below 350 parts per million in the atmosphere in order to retain a stable climate. And currently we're at 390 parts per million, which is unsustainable. Now, in San Francisco, according to what I have here, thousands marched and biked down Market Street last Saturday. Really? Not a bit of coverage in the global media, or in the national media, as far as I know. And the Global Day of Action opened in the Pacific island of Tonga at sunrise, where a village priest prayed for climate change mitigation, followed by a village choir singing. Now, I'm sure that was very picturesque and very pretty, but obviously we know that the prayers and the singing are superstitious rituals that, okay, if people get off on doing that, okay, but it absolutely has zero effect on climate change. You have to take action. The gods are not going to help. Not a bit. Not even a little. So, I just thought I would check and see if anybody else had been totally unaware, as I had, of what occurred last Saturday. I had no idea, which may only be showing my own specific ignorance of things about which I should know tons, and in this particular instance did not. So if you knew about moving planet, if you knew about the activities that occurred on every continent on the planet last Saturday, good on you, mate. But again, it I missed it. And from earthjustice.org, one of the blogs there, did you hear about this? A massive oil spill announced last week off the coast of western Sweden could be an ominous harbinger of America's Arctic Ocean, or for America's Arctic Ocean. You know what the Obama administration, not only, this is the part that drives me crazy. It just makes me insane, you know. I don't understand how people can hold these two conflicting Obamas in their head and ignore one and go for the other one. Obama made the now laughable statement, I forget what it was exactly, but on day one he would start the process to lower the Earth's rising oceans, to bring ice back to the Arctic. But, you know, I mean, it was very metaphorical talk. Is that right? Metaphor, simile, analogy? Can never keep those straight. But what he meant was that his administration would get to work on the issue, the life and death issue of global climate change. And so far, everything that I have seen this president do has been 180 degrees opposite. He is going to sign off. His State Department has. His Environmental Protection Agency has. It's now up to him, and he will sign off on the XL pipeline, the tar sands horror that is going to, even in extracting the stuff from the earth, in Canada, is going to dump tons of carbon into the atmosphere, much less when it's finally burned. Issuing, he's done that, or he's going to do that, issuing the permits to Shell to begin exploration, punching holes in the bottom of the sea in the Arctic Ocean off the coast of Alaska. He's done that. And yet, you know, there are people who get their bloomers in just a horrific wad if you begin to suggest that Barack Obama is as bad as George W. Bush on these issues, maybe worse, because Bush never made any promises. Bush more or less told everybody to go pound sand in the nearest body orifice because he's an oil man. But I digress. D days following the spill near the Swedish island of Tjörn. I know I'm not pronouncing it right. Tjörn. The U.S. EPA issued air permits for Shell Oil's plans to drill in the Alaskan Arctic beginning next year. Now, Barack Obama's EPA issued these permits despite the fact that Shell's oil spill response plan for that region, these icy remote waters, is totally inadequate. Even Shell stays away from that topic because they know that if there is an accident, even remotely resembling the one in the Gulf of Mexico last year, that's it for the Arctic. That's it. So, EarthJustice.org suggests that maybe Sweden's disaster serves as a cautionary tale for America's Arctic Ocean. Would that that were true, but it is not. The spill that we're talking about here, this massive oil spill near Tjörn, it's a small island renowned for its natural beauty. Of course. It's always a small island renowned for its natural beauty, isn't it? But the spill is killing birds there, polluting the shoreline, may not be cleaned up until next summer, threatening the area's tourist industry. Oh my goodness, can't have that. Bad weather is complicating the response efforts. Makes you wonder, do they ever get bad weather in the Alaskan Arctic? Does it ever get nasty up there? Like wind and storm? Whatever, I'm sure. The Obama administration and Shell has worked out an agreement to handle the bad weather. And local residents on the island of Tjörn and in Sweden who want to help clean up this mess have been turned away because the spill's toxic nature is a serious threat to human health. Really? Well, I would think so. If it kills birds and fish and mammals, sea mammals, and I guess it would be a serious threat to human health. Shell's Arctic drilling plan involves a whole fleet of large ships. And they themselves pollute the water that they sail through. And the EPA's permits are for air pollution coming from the stacks of the drill ship Discoverer and associated drilling fleet in the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas. Remember those pictures, the pictures of smoking, belching, burping smokestacks. Hey, progress! Yeah! Capitalism, industrialization, by God! Where do you suppose the oil that is, if any, is captured out of the Arctic, the Alaskan Arctic, where do you think that oil is going to go? Do you think it's going to go into American, eventually into American automobiles, into American home heating, or where do you think it's going to go? Do you think it is designated, targeted? Like a lot of people think the XL tar sands or the XL pipeline that's going to bring this filthy tar sands oil out of one continent across out of one nation across another. Where do you think that's going to go? See, the people promoting this is energy independence. No, it's not. It all goes into the same place, the global market. And most of it will probably wind up going to the Chinese. Or the Indians, because after all, that's where American industry has decided to relocate. That's where the factories are now, the ones that used to be all over the United States. Yeah, why keep the factories here and pay people living wages and figure out ways to scrub the smokestacks as all this crap goes up in the atmosphere? You know, those pictures from the 40s and 50s, but the industrial might of the United States, they could still be real if two things had happened. If the capitalists had not decided to further exploit workers by getting out of the United States, and if the capitalists had decided, we might be able to make our millions and billions and trillions without destroying the earth. You know, I hope I'm one of the few people alive when none of us can breathe again. And I hope another of the few people alive are one of these capitalist bastards who caused this or kept it going. I like to be able to look in his eyes as we're both choking to death and say, what do you think, you son of a bitch? Was it worth it?
It's evil out there, man. That state is always on fire. Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I've got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it.
Before the hour. So, massive oil spill off the coast of western Sweden last week. And a good example of what may, I wonder what the statistics are, happen in the Alaskan Arctic once shell oil begins punching holes in the bottom of the Arctic Sea. They're looking for more earth-destroying carbon-based energy. Shell, at the same time, and this was a part that was crazed to me, just absolutely crazed. Just a few days after the spill, the EPA here issued air permits for Shell Oil's plans to drill. Air permits are necessary to bring in the huge tankers, the huge drilling ships, all the massive equipment. And air permits mean, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead. What? Smokestack? No, shh. Yeah, here's your permits. Go ahead. This is Shell's second go-around on obtaining those air permits after the EPA's reviewing court, which is called the Environmental Appeals Board, determined that the original permits did not meet Clean Air Act requirements. And they do now? Well, no, you just tweak the requirements. You don't. You don't do anything about the amount of poison being pumped into the air. That would be ridiculous. For Christ's sake, there's not a capitalist on earth that would stand for that. No, especially not American. Or in this case, Shell Oil, which I believe is a British. Isn't that a British-owned company? I don't know. Who knows? They're all the same, right? So they tweaked the requirements. So now, even though Shell Oil got turned down the first time, all of a sudden their ships meet the requirements. Isn't that amazing? How did that happen? So quickly. So earthjustice.org says in their statement, quote, we are disappointed the EPA decided to issue permits that are less protective than they could and should be, end quote. So anyway, giving Shell permission now to go ahead with these plans for 2012 to start drilling in the Alaskan Arctic Ocean is further proof that the Obama administration is not the least bit concerned that the Obama administration is a capitalist operation to the nth degree. And this, again, this demonstrates, I think, clearly and precisely the absolute moronic quality of these half-witted freaks who now are running for the presidency on the Republican side. And all of you teabag jerks who run around with one finger up your nose and the other finger in some other body orifice screeching about, oh, Barack Obama's a socialist! Barack Obama, he's against big business! Barack Obama is a socialist! What is wrong with you people? You have never had in office a more capitalist sympathizing president, except for Bill Clinton, than Barack Obama. What is wrong with you people? You are so stupid. And you all have bad breath, too. Plus, you all fart a lot. You ever notice that? Ever been around a lot of teabaggers? Stop it. Oh my God. It's horrible. What, Kathy? What do you mean, stop it? It's the truth. Well, but it's the truth. They're horrible people. Of course they have bad breath. Of course they fart. Are you kidding me? Earth Justice attorneys are reviewing the air permits issued by the Obama administration to Shell Oil. And we'll make decisions about the next steps based on that review. There is possible recourse through the courts, although what the courts lately have been ruling, they've been throwing cases like this out of court based on the idea that Earth Justice is not a party that has an interest in how this turns out, that they are not an aggrieved party. So how can they sue? Earth Justice is, after all, just a filing someplace in some attorney's office. Unlike a corporation is a person. Ask Mitt Romney. Ask the U.S. Supreme Court. But earthjustice.org or Earth Justice Organization, do they have standing to file suit to stop this? How? They're just a bunch of, you know, papers filed someplace. It's madness. But it is our madness, right? So, there you have it. A couple of events that for some reason just blew right past me. I don't know if you caught them in your media net or not, but they certainly got past me. The Moving Planet campaign on six continents last Saturday, and the permits issued by, or the oil spill off the coast of Sweden. Massive, it's called in press releases. Massive. I just didn't know. Maybe media have decided that they're just not going to report that bad news anymore. I mean, my goodness, why should they, right? It can all be fixed. Well, sorry to leave you on such a bummer. I mean, we very seldom do that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.